Wednesday, January 18th, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. This is David Cruz with the Comstock Report on the grains. 97% of the Argentine soybean crop was believed to have been planted before they tried to drown it out again. Argentina is not a huge country like Brazil, so it is a little harder to have extreme drought and extreme flood in the same general regions. It will take some time to get the extent of the flood damage sorted out, with estimates ranging from 6 to 10%. Normally some crops benefit from being well watered, but if deluges are followed by extreme heat and dryness, the soils turn to hard brick. They have heavy soils in Argentina, and as I have noted in a previous report, they are very poorly drained with an absence of tile systems that we have here in the Midwest. Brazil crop conditions are favorable, which means that under the current trend and environment, that gets ignored. The funds are buying, and they proved a year ago that they take the market until they run out of gas. The funds have plenty of bullets left to shoot if there's a reason to gun the market. A friendly annual soybean production report followed by crop drowning floods in Argentina was good for a strong rally. Technicals are now solidly up, and until the market says otherwise, no one wants to be contrary like last year, giving it room. The rally will continue to add new crop acres in the United States. The Hudson Crop Revenue Insurance buy-up that we bought was for December, January, and February. We get the highest soybean average for any of the 3 months. There is a cycle low due in late February, so we expect a high between now and then. Despite the flood losses, Argentina should still produce more soybeans than last year. And if Brazil produces 104 million metric tons, as USDA forecast, the soybean market could get too high soon. Their corn is not as impacted by the flooding, and it is Brazil that is the corn-producing powerhouse in South America. The early harvest has been going well in the Mato Grosso, so it is a great time for a trucker strike. This is when they are critical to move the harvest, so when the truckers have the most leverage to strike. They don't strike during the off-season. They typically end up getting a raise. The NOPA crush of 160.2 million bushels of soybeans for December came up short of trade estimates. Domestic demand was met as soy meal exports were strong. The slowing of the crush helped goose the soybean market to lead the soybean rally this week. I think that the meal oil spreaders fueled much of the rally, getting caught the wrong way. The long soy oil, short soy meal spread got too popular and overcrowded, and they got crushed. I've noted that the ethanol industry's foot is down hard on the accelerator, which creates more competing distillers' grain. China has really picked out the U.S. ethanol industry as someone they like to kick around, given tariffs on both distillers' grain and ethanol. Iowa Governor Terry Branstad can't get there fast enough for his new job as ambassador to China. He, of all people, understands what is going on, and hopefully that will have some positive impact. Beijing knows that he comes from an ethanol state, so it is puzzling what message that they are trying to send him with such a welcome. You're listening to the Comstock Report. 3, 2, 1. I never thought that I would be pleased by some new rule that the EPA completed, but the exception came last week. They finalized the CAFE rule for fleet mileage for automakers, making it official. Once these rules have gone through the process, they would be very hard to reverse, requiring another complete run through the entire rulemaking process to change or drop. The CAFE target was set at 45 miles per gallon by 2025. That is not out of reach for the auto industry to achieve. They are developing new high-compression efficient engines that can reach that mileage. The reason that I like the rule is because these engines require higher octane, and the cheapest, most available octane enhancer on the market today is ethanol. These engines would love E30. This would be an example where the Trump administration would have to choose between constituencies. The U.S. dollar tested major support Wednesday, attributed to President-elect Donald Trump's comments that the dollar was too high. Currency values are set by market forces, at least most of them, but the market was clearly spooked by Trump's comments. The better reason the dollar weakened was strength in the British pound from Prime Minister May's speech on Brexit. They had sold the pound off on the rumor of her speech and then bought it on the fact. Where the dollar ends up this week will be telling. I've still not changed expectations for dollar strength. The moderate weakness in the dollar did buffer recent commodity price gains to export buyers. President-elect Trump dissed the European Union, telling them that he was looking forward to negotiating a free trade agreement with the UK, suggesting that the EU will break up soon, and the UK will have the advantage. The Brits voted for Brexit but have not started the actual process yet, but the delay will end soon. You've been listening to the Comstock Report. For more information and marketing opportunities, visit us in Royal Iowa online at comstock.com or call 712-933-9400.